The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Hello, good evening, welcome. Nice to be back here again. I was just here on Monday night, and a few of you are here on my talk. I see some familiar faces. Who's here for the first time at IMC tonight? A show of hands. One person? Two, three people? Is that it? Four? Did you have a hand up? Four? Am I missing yet the other hands? Four new people. Great. Welcome. Nice. Yay. Welcome. So for tonight's sharing of the Dharma, I'll tell you what I planned. So on Monday night, I talked a lot about the simile of the pole acrobats, which is a beautiful simile. I really like it. And as those of you who've come to my talks before, you know that I usually like to invite people to interact and talk and really contemplate about whatever I share. And I talked so much Monday night that there wasn't so much time for that interaction. So, as the lucky Thursday night people, you get to actually workshop it and then actually discuss it and think about it and interact. And the reason why I think that's really important is, in Buddhism, there are three ways to learn. One way is to listen or read. So you hear a topic, a concept that's new to you, and you hear it, you listen to it, which is similar to, say, in the Western culture, when you go to a lecture and hear a talk, or basically it's the reading or learning, listening mode of learning. The second mode of learning is when you actually think about it, when you contemplate it, when you discuss it with someone else. That mode of learning is different from just listening. Haven't you noticed, for example, when you discuss, say, if you've read an article and you think about it and you share with a friend, you it goes deeper. Have you noticed? It's more than just listening or reading about it. So that's the second mode. And that's also existent. That mode of learning is in the Western culture. Now, the third mode of learning in Buddhism is called insight, basically insight learning, when you're meditating on someone and on something, and you get to see it. You get to, it's like the mind clicks. So it's deeper, that insight goes deeper than contemplation. And we've all had that in different ways. So I'll give you an example. We've all been teenagers, right, at some point in our life. So when you were a kid, if somebody told you what it was like to be a teenager, would you have been able to get it? No. You had to experience what it was like to go through that angst and your body being different sizes and growing and all of that. So that third mode of learning is really is a deep kind of learning. It's really an insight based. So just to say that, it's a great opportunity to not just hear the Dharma, but contemplate it and discuss it with others and let it sit a little more deeply, which is what we'll do tonight. So tonight I'd like to talk briefly about the simile of the acrobat, which I just love the name, the simile of the pole acrobat. I mean, the Buddha talked, what a cool name for a simile. So I'd like to briefly talk about that and give some reflections and then interact. So the simile, it's about protecting oneself and others. It's about offering protection to oneself and others in the world. And it's offering that protection through mindfulness and through other practices of metta, loving-kindness, compassion, forgiveness, etc. So now that you're curious, let me read the simile for you, which is brief and beautiful. So here we go. Thus have I heard. This is how the suttas always start. Thus have I heard. At one time, the Buddha was dwelling among the Kosalans, in a Simsapa grove north of the town of Sedaka. At that time, the Blessed One said to the monks, "In former times, there was a teacher of acrobatics done in dependence on a pole." That means an acrobatics pole teacher. "He placed the pole straight up on his shoulder and told his disciple, 'Get up and down on the pole. You protect me, and I will also protect you. Protecting each other, we will put on a show and gain much wealth.'" So it sounds pretty clear. So the teacher is saying to the student, "Okay, you go up on my shoulder. You watch out for me. I watch out for you. That way, we'll both be protected." Makes sense, right? Okay. Then the disciple of acrobatics said to the teacher of acrobatics, "It won't do as you said." Okay, it won't do as you said. "Instead, we should each take care to protect ourselves. Like this, we will put on a show and gain much wealth. We will be physically at ease, and yet I will get down safely." So the student says, "No, that won't work. I'll watch out for myself, and you watch out for you. That way we'll both be protected." The teacher of acrobatics said, "As you said, we will take care to protect ourselves. This is correct and is also the meaning of what I said." So now the teacher says, "Oh, right, you're right. That's what I meant to say anyway. You're absolutely right. So you watch out for yourself, I watch out for myself, and this way we'll both be protected." Okay, now let's see what the Buddha says. The Buddha said, "Having protected oneself, one right away protects the other. When protecting the other and oneself, this is protection indeed." So Buddha is saying, yeah, that's right. When you protect yourself, you automatically protect the other person. And when you protect yourself and the other person, then that is protection indeed. So what does that mean? How does protecting oneself protect others? Becoming familiar with one's own mind, developing it, protecting it accordingly, and attaining realization. This is called protecting oneself protects others. So that here's the recipe. How do you protect yourself? By becoming familiar with one's own mind, becoming familiar with what is inside your head, the thoughts, the feelings, emotions, not necessarily being driven by them, but knowing what's going on, developing it, developing your mind, and protecting your mind accordingly and attaining realization. This is called protecting oneself protects others. Now, how does protecting others protect oneself? By the gift of fearlessness. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that a beautiful gift to give to others? The gift of fearlessness so that they're not afraid of you. You're harmless. You're not going to harm them. By the gift of fearlessness, the gift of non-violation, the gift of harmlessness, by having a mind of benevolence and empathy for the other. This is called protecting others, protect oneself. For this reason, monks, you should train yourself like this. Protecting myself, I will develop the four spheres of mindfulness. Protecting others, I will develop the four spheres of mindfulness. When the Buddha had spoken this discourse, the monks, that's you, who had heard what the Buddha had said, were delighted and received it respectfully. So it's a beautiful sutta talking about mindfulness, how by developing mindfulness and actually knowing the contents of our mind and thoughts and protecting our mind, we can protect ourselves. We're trying to see when difficult emotions, when difficult desires arise and not let it get out of hand. Because haven't you noticed they can be contagious? When you're in a difficult mood, for example, if you're feeling angry, the chances are that you're going to instigate the other person to become angry, right? So by protecting your own mind, by letting it be in this space of calm and just non-harming yourself. Basically, we harm ourselves with our thoughts more than we harm anybody else. So by protecting yourself, you can offer this protection to others. So this became really clear to me as I shared on Monday night when I was sitting a month-long meditation retreat, and then actually another 2 weeks this spring. I've been doing a lot of retreats. And there was a time when the retreat had continued and my mind had really become settled and calm, and level of mindfulness had really, really become bright. And there was a level of awareness of what was the thoughts that were going on. There was a clarity. There was a clarity of all the thoughts, all the reactions, all the reactivity I was having to everything. And I felt so safe. There was so much safety. It was a deep sense of safety to know that nothing could harm me. I knew all the contents. Everything that was going on in my mind, I had knowledge on. I had knowledge about. It was just a sense of complete peace, like, okay, no one can harm me. And guess what? I'm the one who harms myself the most with my thoughts of being upset, being, you name it, just all the kinds of difficult thoughts that go through my head. They harm me the most. They harm me more than anybody else can possibly harm me. So by offering myself that protection of mindfulness, I felt so safe. And similarly, by offering the protection of benevolence and loving kindness and compassion practice that we can offer to other people around us, it offers them the gift of harmlessness and fearlessness. And then that offers us protection, because that also is contagious. When you're kind to someone, when you're generous, when you're open, it disarms them. Even if there's any difficulty in the relationship, that becomes disarming. It is said that one of the ways to in the Visuddhimagga, in the path of purification, there are a long list of ways to overcome anger, and the last one is, if nothing else works, is give a gift to the person whom you're angry with, because that opens your heart, and of course it opens their heart too. So, wanted to share a couple of examples of when I failed royally at protecting my mind, and when once that it actually worked. So this example is from years ago, and I was at Berkeley, there was a friend of mine whom I thought was representing and promoting a topic, not in a very in an ethically questionable way, perhaps. And I was really upset and really self-righteous, really, really upset and angry. He shouldn't be this way. He shouldn't be doing this. This is not right. This is not appropriate. And I think I was completely consumed by this for a long time. And then talked to some others who were in position of authority, got them involved, and talked to anyone who worked it out. But I was so upset that years and years later, like a decade that had passed, I saw this friend and reunited, and I offered him my apology. You know, sorry if I acted unskillfully, and I should have just talked to him instead of being, you know, so in my head. And he said, you know, that's fine. And he actually hardly remembered the incident. He didn't even remember the incident. So guess who was mostly hurt by all this? Moi. So that this protection, protecting one's mind and seeing what's going on and offering that gift of both mindfulness, the clarity of seeing what is going on, what is the motivation, why am I so upset? Offering loving kindness to myself and to this friend to sit and talk about it. It's that protection indeed. It's really offering me protection and offering her protection. And with that, I also want to say, when we fail, the best thing to do is to learn and forgive ourselves, others, and just start again. Because if we regret, and if we are in an infinite loop of regretting and really kicking ourselves about something that happened in the past, we're losing the opportunity in this present moment to be mindful and generous and kind and all the qualities that we want to cultivate. because feeling regretful and anxious is the antipathy of a state of generosity and kindness and warmth, right? So we don't want to lose the opportunity in this moment because of the ills of the past moment. By recognizing them, forgiving ourselves and moving on, that's the best thing that we can do. So also want to offer a case where offering protection to others really transformed the situation. And this is something that happened about a year and a half ago, and I was in a situation where somebody came up to me with a lot of anger, something they're really upset about, and just, oof, it was a really, really bad timing too. Anyway, so I went away from the meeting also being really upset and really angry. And then I started to do compassion meditation for myself because I was really hurting, and then offering it to them because obviously they're really hurting. And then I started to see that their pain, their anger was coming really from their hurt because they felt so small. They felt really, really hurt. And seeing that transformed my anger really into compassion and care. And the response that came out of that when I met with this person again wasn't one of vindictiveness and getting back with them, but it was one of generosity, which even surprised me. And again, I'm not saying that it's me. It's this practice. It's just practice that really brings that out of us. It's what we have. All of us, we have it as a part of our human nature. So giving it, cultivating it by conscious practice. So with this preamble, I want to invite you into a reflection now. So if you would get into your seated meditation posture, I'll do a little guided meditation. So sit comfortably and allow yourself to settle into your body, the feeling of your breath. Settling, relaxing, softening, arriving in this present moment. And now I invite you to bring up to mind a time when protecting your mind from difficult thoughts, from ill will or anger, resentment or greed, offering your self-protection was impossible. It didn't work. And let yourself remember what it felt like not to have protection in your mind. How did it affect you? How did you get hurt? If you got hurt, how did it affect the others around you? Perhaps people you cared about. After you have it, take a deep breath, let it go, offer yourself forgiveness, it's okay, we're all human, it's okay. Now, starting anew, starting afresh on this very breath, on this one, allow your mind to be clear and to remember a time when you offered another being protection of your kindness, your harmlessness, your goodwill, and how your generosity of spirit both really helped them and offered them protection in this sense. It also offered you protection in this sphere of generosity and relationship. See how that feels in your body to remember a time. When offering protection to the other and yourself came naturally. How does it feel in your body, in your mind? If there is a feeling of gratitude for yourself or joy, spaciousness, or bigness, let it be. Allow yourself to enjoy appreciating your inner goodness. Now, letting that go, letting that story go. Now, spend a moment or two anew reflecting on what might get in the way of you protecting your mind. See if there's one or two things you can name. What gets in the way? Nothing big. Now let that go with the next breath. And think of now what supports you. What helps you in offering protection both to yourself and to others? What helps you? What are the ways that that can be supported in your life? What do you need for that to happen? So you can let that go and take another breath. When you're ready, open your eyes. So now we'll get into small groups and share our reflections because there is so much wisdom in this room, each of us. Have a lot of wisdom to share with one another, and also the act of being witnessed when you actually share what you came up with and what you were thinking is really powerful. And don't take my word for it. Just experience and see what it feels like to actually not just think it in your head, I'm going to say it in your head, but have yourself be witnessed by other human beings receiving you, witnessing you with kindness. So let's get into groups of four if we can. There might be some groups of three. And if you like to, actually, if you came here with people, you may want to experiment with, you know, being in groups with other people, you know, with people who are different from you, different backgrounds, different ages, different nationalities, etc. So after we get into groups, we'll self-organize. Then each person will have about, let's see, how much time do we have left? Each person will have about 3 minutes to share, and we'll go in a circle. Then you'll have a few minutes in each group for one person to kind of summarize and come up with the themes of what came up in each group. Okay, is that clear? Groups of size 4, each person will have 3 minutes, and then if one person would volunteer to sort of pick up the themes that came up. And what you're sharing is what came up in your reflection, in the guided reflection we just came up with. So please self-organize into groups of 4. And I will time you. I'll ring the bell every 3 minutes. And you can have a group of, okay, you have groups of, how's it going? There's one group of 3 here. There's another group of 3 there. There's another group if you like, oh, okay. All right, everybody's in groups? Great. So you can start. You can have a group of three. It's all good.